Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Adam Vojtěch is stepping down as Czech Health Minister. Roman Primula will take the reins at the Ministry of Health on Tuesday. And there have now been over 500 COVID deaths in the Czech Republic. The Czech Minister of Health, Adam Vojtěch, has announced that he's stepping down. He revealed his decision at a news conference on Monday morning, saying he had already handed his resignation to the Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš. Mr. Vojtěch said his move would help create new space for the resolution of the coronavirus crisis. Mr. Vojtěch said he would retain his seat in the Chamber of Deputies and focus on the healthcare field. Mr. Babiš thanked Mr. Vojtěch, saying he had done incredible work during the first wave of COVID-19. Prime Minister Babiš says he's nominated epidemiologist Roman Primula to replace Mr. Vojtěch at the head of the Ministry of Health. The Prime Minister says President Miloš Zeman has promised to appoint Mr. Primula Minister of Health on Monday afternoon so that he can take office on Tuesday. Mr. Primula, who's 56, headed the central crisis staff in the initial phase of the coronavirus crisis and was the Deputy Minister of Health. He later became Government Commissioner for Research in the Health Sciences. Mr. Babiš said that he expected the new minister would provide crisis management at the government department during the coronavirus epidemic. He also said at a news conference on Monday afternoon that the revived central crisis staff would be a platform for coordination between the state and the regions. It'll be headed by the Minister of the Interior, Jan Hamáček. Opposition leaders have suggested that Adam Vojtěch should have quit sooner as Minister of Health and blamed the current situation surrounding COVID-19 on the Prime Minister, Mr. Babiš. Petr Fiala of the Civic Democrats said Mr. Vojtěch was compromised back in January when he mocked warnings about the virus and should have stood down then. Markéta Pekarová Adamová of Topo 9 said the Prime Minister himself was chiefly responsible for the situation. She said Mr. Babiš had said in March that he would take all political responsibility on himself, but had failed to actually do so. The number of people who have died with COVID-19 in the Czech Republic has surpassed 500 and stood at 503 on Monday morning. Some 985 new cases of the virus were registered on Sunday, a day when fewer tests are normally conducted. There are just over 24,000 active cases of COVID-19 in the country. At present, there are 503 people with the virus in Czech hospitals, with 87 in a serious condition. From Monday, it's compulsory to wear face masks at outdoor events attended by over 100 people in Prague, central Bohemia and in the areas of Zlín, Uherské Hradiště and Kroměříž. It was already obligatory to cover one's nose and mouth indoors and on public transport in all parts of the country. In another measure aimed at containing the spread of COVID-19, universities in Prague have been ordered to switch to online learning only from Monday. Officials from the Krkonoše National Park in North Bohemia say that it experienced above-average visitor numbers this summer, with records being broken in some spots. One place that was particularly popular was the country's highest mountain, Sněžka, which saw average daily visitor numbers of over 10,000. And finally, the weather forecast. It should be sunny in the Czech Republic on Tuesday, with average temperatures of 24 degrees Celsius. The following days are expected to be overcast, with daytime highs falling to around 14 degrees Celsius at the weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and a very warm welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, Health Minister Adam Vojtěch has quit amid a sharp uptick in COVID-19 cases. The hometown of Olympic gold medalist Emil Zátopek is set to immortalize the runner in bronze. And we look into the timeless appeal of mechanical musical artistry with Clockworks master Patrick Pajizek. All that's coming up now, so please do stay tuned. In a surprise move, the Czech health minister, Adam Vojtěch, announced his resignation on Monday morning. With numbers reaching unprecedented levels, he said he was going in order to create new space for dealing with the coronavirus crisis. Mr. Wojtek will be replaced by the epidemiologist Roman Primula, who was the public face of the fight against COVID-19 when it first hit the country, as Tom McEncroe reports.
Nominated by the ruling ANO party, Adam Wojtech was Minister of Health for nearly 3 years. His stated plan on taking office was to bring about systemic change, kickstart the ministry's shift to digitisation and stop the exodus of health workers. Instead, he became known for something completely different, as the outgoing health minister himself said on Monday's news conference.
Ve chvíli, kdy přišel COVID,
the moment that COVID-19 came, I became the minister for COVID. We have been focusing on the virus for 9 months already. I think I and my colleagues have done the maximum, day and night, to protect our citizens from the virus, and I believe we did a very good job in managing the first wave of the pandemic. I will continue to serve in my function as a member of the Chamber of Deputies and focus on healthcare.
Shortly after Mr. Wojtek's announcement, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said the outgoing health minister was, I quote, the best in the history of the Czech Republic, end quote, but that Mr. Wojtek is not a crisis manager and had trouble with the pressure and criticism he was under.
Podporu měl.
He had support, but everyone has their own temperament. He was under a lot of pressure, a lot of attacks, day and night. Some people just absorb it and accumulate it in them, while others, such as myself, react indifferently.
The opposition was much less complimentary. The main opposition party leader, Petr Fiala of the Civic Democrats, wrote that Adam Wojtek had been, I quote, the Prime Minister's favourite who had managed very little in his position, and that his resignation was 8 months too late, end quote. Just hours after Mr. Wojtek's surprise move, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said that his replacement would be the Government Commissioner for Science and Research, Roman Primula. The decision to select Mr. Primula as successor had already been discussed with the President during the weekend, Mr. Babiš said. Professor Primula is an epidemiologist by profession and was Deputy Health Minister during the spring months of 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic first hit the country, heading the National Coronavirus Task Force. Mr. Primula has recently voiced some of the starkest warnings over the impact that the ongoing second wave could bring. For example, the future health minister has said that he expects the number of daily cases each day to reach between 6,000 to 8,000 before things turn for the better. Speaking to TV Prima on Sunday, he said that it is worth considering the return of the state of emergency, which was in place during the spring months, and that he believes it is likely schools will be closed, particularly in Prague.
Tom McEncroe with that report. Moving on, the northern Moravian town of Kopřivnice this weekend officially launched a public collection to fund a statue of favourite son Emil Zatopek, arguably the greatest distance runner in history, just in time for the 100th anniversary of his birth next September. Emil Zatopek is the only runner in history to have won the 5,000-metre, 10,000-metre and marathon races in the same Olympic Games. Remarkably, after winning gold in those first two events in Helsinki in 1952, he decided at the very last minute to run the marathon, his first. Nearly two decades ago, a life-size statue of the Czech locomotive, as Zatopek came to be known, in part due to his unorthodox running style, was installed in the gardens of the Olympic Museum in Lucerne, Switzerland, an honour bestowed upon only three other sports figures before him. Now, his hometown of Kopřivnice hopes to raise some 1.5 million crowns from the public to fund a similar statue from the very same sculptor, Jaroslav Brož, who has already begun work on it and told Czech Radio of his artistic concept.
The statue will be on what you could call a pedestal, but which evokes a racetrack. It will be life-size and have a patinated on quite a dark, shiny bronze.
6 years ago, another life-size statue of Zátopek by another sculptor was unveiled at the youth stadium in Zlín, home to the Bacha shoe factory. It was there, as a 16-year-old, that the future Olympic champion first began running, reluctantly, after randomly being picked to run a race by the factory's sports coach. While Kopřivnice is far from the first to immortalize the gold medalist in bronze, so to speak, the northern Moravian town does plan to make up for lost time, Lenka Hráková of the town hall told Czech Radio.
Stojíme v centru města Kopřivnice.
Here is where the statue of the famous Kopřivnice native Emil Zátopek will stand, at the crossroads of this walkway across from the town hall. So, really, in the center of town.
The Zátopek statue is expected to take pride of place on an elevated racetrack about 4 meters long and 80 centimeters wide, just off Štefaníková Street. Plans are also afoot to stage a grand exhibition in the museum housed within the town's historic Šustal Villa that would honor the runner Zátopek and his wife Dana Zátopková, herself an Olympic champion javelin thrower. Emil Zátopek broke 18 world records during his 17-year career and was also the first to run a 10,000-meter race in less than 29 minutes. While certainly the most famous athlete to come out of Kopřivnice, population just 22,000, he's not its only champion. The local Hall of Fame also includes gymnasts, tennis players, and ice hockey players. Patrick Pažízek, a curator at the National Technical Museum, is a specialist in the artistic craftsmanship of historical clocks. So specialized, in fact, he had to search for a Czech university that would let him pursue a doctorate on the subject. I spoke with him shortly after the opening of a special exhibition he is curating at the Museum of the Czech Karst in Beroun. It's called A Soul Full of Clockworks and features a wide array of rare mechanical toys and automatronic objects. Just short of a year ago, Patrick Pažízek opened an antique shop in central Prague called the Clock Gallery, where he sells and repairs historic timepieces and the odd mechanical instrument or music box. I began by asking him when his fascination with clocks began and about the very first one he ever took apart.
It was when I was very young. I was visiting my grandmother and there was old alarm clock and I was alone with the alarm clock in the living room and I tried to put it on parts and of course I totally destroy it. The spring jumps from the case and it was unrepairable and unusable. And now, when I'm thinking about that time, now I can say that it was quite collector's piece, that alarm clock. Because I have now different eye how to see the things. So
what made it special?
That one was special because it was design which gets some award on an international expo exhibition for Czechoslovakia design. It was quite extraordinary shape, very modern. And now this kind of objects is possible to buy around 2,000 koruna, for example.
Patrick Pažízek is a PhD student in the Department of Art History at Palatsky University in Olomouc, where he researches the artistry of historical clocks, his main interest apart from mechanical music machines. Besides being a curator and an antique shop owner, he is, of course, also an avid collector.
Of course, firstly, I was trying to visiting some flea markets or try to buy things, for example, on internet or on some smaller stores in some villages. But quite often, the sellers knows exactly what they want to sell, and mostly it's not such quality items. For example, they say, just now I don't have a key, but it's fully working, or typical sentences what you will read on internet, that there is, of course it's working, but we don't have time to try it. Or And when I was thinking where to find the best items, I found out that the best is to be in touch just with collectors, because collectors has in Czech Republic quite large collections, and sometimes they have more pieces of, for example, similar items, so they can sell it, and we could clean it, we could put it into a shop.
So you built up a practical expertise.
Yes.
And you also studied in academia.
Because I connect to the PhD study at Olomouc University with a focus just on the history of clocks. It's quite unusual, but I'm trying to finish the study because it's quite extraordinary.
Well, if you pardon the pun, I have time to hear the story.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary because it's not typical to study this field. Firstly, I was trying to ask at Prague University, Pilsen University, but very often they tell me we don't have any experts for this. We are not able to give you the lessons.
A mentor or even classes.
Yeah, or I will help you. But at Olomouc, it was quite nice to see the people, talk with them about my project, about my idea. And they were quite open to the discussion. Firstly, I have to find many other people from the clock and watch field, which gives me advices and helps me in cooperation with the university, because at the university, of course, there is not clock expert, but there is experts for different fields, which is necessary when a man study PhD.
Mm. And more within the framework of mechanical history, I suppose.
Yes, more in the frame of history of art. Mm. I mostly focused on the types of cases, on the types of decorations, on the historical styles.
Mm-hmm. And from that, you grew from clocks to also different kinds of machines. And we met
at
a festival of organ grinders, the Flaschinet.
There is a quite short connection between clocks and music, because many clocks, which is more valuable, more special, more rare, there is quite often some kind of music machine inside. We have some kind of flute clocks, we have typical reed music machines, and very often it's built inside the clocks. And thanks to this, I think I was searching some restorer of the part of the clock, and I get in touch with Mr. Bondra, which is the president of Czech Society of the Burr Street Organs.
Pažízdek is himself a barrel organ player and a card-carrying member of the Czech Association of the Friends of the Flaschinet and Mechanical Music. He also works for the National Technical Museum, as noted earlier, where the work he does is a bit outside his main interests.
And what kind of work do you do for them?
That's a bit a different field, because I'm the curator of mechanical engineering. We have there a quite nice collection of steam machines or other types of engines, which was like historically after the steam machines.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we can turn to your latest, your own exhibition.
Yes.
Which in English the name is A Soul Full of Wheels. What can you tell me about how that came about? What's in there?
This object, I was many years fascinating in it. We call it, in English, it has names automata, but I don't know if it's correct, or sometimes Czech people call it robots or mechanical toys or some kind of moving objects. Many of them people knows from their childhood, but also this kind of toys, it's not just for children. We have different kind of toys, like luxury toys for adults. And, for example, the typical thing is again correspond to antique clocks. On antique clocks we will find many moving figures, many, for example, waterfalls, blacksmiths working in a...
On the anvil.
Yeah.
The anvil. Yeah.
that's the typical movings which we can see normally between the antiques. But thanks to the exhibition and thanks to my job in Technical Museum, we start a cooperation, the Technical Museum start cooperating with a museum in Beroun, where the exhibition is located. And we were able to borrow there some kind of most rare, most valuable objects, which is possible to see, in, I think, in this country.
So the collection comes from all around the country then?
Yeah, all around the country. Some items is from museums, but of course many items is from private collectors.
Among the rarest items now on display at the Museum of the Bohemian Karst is a street barrel organ featuring a band of monkey musicians.
I think it's the most valuable item which is on exhibition. That's a classical barrel organ, but under the barrel organ there is a box made of glass, and inside there are six musicians, and they are moving. When you are playing the organ, each musician of this band can make around six moves. They are moving with head, moving with eyes, moving with mouth, and playing their instruments. Here we can see bass, violinist, here is
cello, I suppose.
And it's quite, I think it's the most popular object on the exhibition. It's from the between 19th and 20th century made. I think it was from Switzerland, but we can't exactly say because many workshops was in the middle of Europe, so it's not possible to more specify by the techniques how they made it. But it's the most popular. We made a video, of course, how it's moving, because it's impossible to show it to people every day, how it's working. So we made detailed video about each figure on it. And children are looking on it and they are fascinating what the people in history was able to do.
Okay, and what else do we have? Got that looks like a shepherd.
Yeah, here is shepherd. It's part of old mechanical cribs or Bethlehems. It was typical around our country on mountains that in winter many people are making some kind of cribs, and some of them could make it moving because it was more interested. It was more popular also for visitors. This example is from Liberec.
So it's like the manger scene, right?
The Bethlehem. Yes. Here is just part, because each figure has separate mechanism, because each figure has different moves, and each figure is quite complicated. For example, we have from this Bethlehem, we have also moving pigeons and moving cows. There is six cows. I don't know how many pigeons is there, but when you look under the green, there is such complicated mechanism. It's unbelievable how they could do it. And another thing is they made it from wood mostly. Here is another item. It's a man sitting on latrine. And it was a shooting target from an old fairground.
Now, does that classify as one of the adult toys? Yeah.
It was produced around 1910, 1915. And it's quite funny. When the target was shot by gun, under the man there is moving, what's the correct word?
Right, bowel movement. Yeah, so now who's this fellow? He's got a very expressive face.
That's a kind or example of Black Forest clock. Each Black Forest clock, sometimes in Germany, has something special to make it more valuable, more expensive on the market. And here we see on the upper top of the dial, there's a man and he has moving eyes and moving mouth. Every hour when the clock is striking, by the number of strikes, he opens your mouth.
So altogether, how many different pieces or groups of pieces are in this exhibition?
There is around 10 groups from different fields, and totally I think there is 50 or 60 pieces, because some pieces is very small, some pieces of course is large. The most largest, there is a horse we borrow from Technical Museum, large horse from the if you know the Letenský Kolotoč,
the Letna carousel.
Yes, yeah. There is 21 horses inside, and it's the oldest carousel on the world, which was made by special technique that they will use whole skin from the horse and put it on the wooden sculpture, so make it more real. And that's only example on the world which was made it like this. It was in 1892. It's quite a rare object, all the carousel. Firstly, when the carousel was new, under the carousel there was a man walking around and moving with the carousel.
Curator Patrick Pajizek has a few projects in development. One he is most excited about is a lecture and workshop series he and his partner at the Clock Gallery in Prague plan to hold in August, where participants can try their own hand at restoring timepieces.
And you envision that people would all work on the same restoration, or would they bring in clocks that their grandchildren destroyed?
I think they will bring the items, because many people are visiting us and asking for advice. I have this, it's valuable or not, what can I do with it?
And that edition of Czech History with National Technical Museum curator Patrik Pajizek brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. You can find the full broadcast on our webpage at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and invite you to follow us there. Meanwhile, if you have any questions or comments about today's content, please do get in touch. We'd be glad to hear from you. Our email address is english@radio.cz. For me, Brian Kennedy, and everyone in the studio, for now, thanks for listening, and take care.